出来呀。
Amen。Now she got me crying before I ever started. I cry easily when I speak and so forth. So, but God is good. No, He is, yes. But really the scripture says God is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen? So when I say God is good, what do you say? No, you didn't get it. Okay, let's try that again. God is good. A few of you got it. There's a few places in the Psalms where this comes from, and in those places it says, God is good and His mercy endures forever. God is good. You got it. You can say the other one too, but that's what the scripture says. And you know, He is good because His mercy, we call Him good because His mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
Now, we know He is good, but we call Him good because we know that His mercy is everlasting and His mercy endures forever. Amen? Because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for His mercy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to look into the Word of God. I thank You that Your Word is a firm foundation which will never be shaken. And we thank You that this morning we have the opportunity to build that Word, that foundation, a little stronger in our lives so that we will not be shaken. We also thank You for Your Holy Spirit who lives in us. We thank You that He is our teacher, and that He will take the Word of God that we share this morning and cause it to come alive on the inside of us, bringing life change. So we thank You, Lord. We look forward with expectation to see what You're going to do here in our midst this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you were able to watch a few weeks ago when we had the prayer march in Washington. How many of you watched some of that? Then there was another happening that happened at the same time, and it was called the return. How many of you watched some of that? So they were kind of two different events, but they happened the same time. And I don't know how they all tied together and so on. But we were watching quite a bit of the return. We happened to be home that Saturday. And one of the speakers was Jonathan Kahn. How many of you ever heard of Jonathan Kahn? He has a book called The Harbinger. Did I pronounce it right? Right? And now it's Harbinger number 2. But Harbinger was out a while back, and it was before, or right around 9/11, when he had that book out. It was amazing some of the things that he took from the Old Testament and applied it to what was happening at the present time. His speech was very inspiring to me, because he took from the Old Testament what happened to Israel at different times and compared that to what is happening in America. Now, I believe that God is not necessarily a respecter of nations. But I also believe that He has put certain calls on certain nations. Are you with me?
Yes.
And the nation of Israel, of course, we know it's all throughout the Bible. In fact, the Bible is a lot about the nation of Israel. So when you see the prophecies and things like that in the Old Testament, it many times is referring to the nation of Israel. And so you have to apply it that way for you to understand it. But there's also, Israel was on a journey. I've done Old Testament studies, taught courses on the Old Testament. So I'm aware that the nation of Israel, their journey was really bumpy at times. Are you with me? And we use, and the Bible says in Hebrews, it says that we use Old Testament things as examples for us today. We live in the New Testament, but we use Old Testament truths and things that happened in the Old Testament as example for us today. Why am I bumping? Okay. All right. So we can look at some of the things that happened to the nation of Israel and compare it to what is happening today in our nation. Now, I'm not going to get political this morning, but I do want to talk about a few things and what we can do in order for us to stay strong during these times. Because we know that we are in times now which are very new to us, very different to us. Even though we think it's the end of the world because of some of the things that are happening today in our nation. But I don't know if you realize it or not, there are many people in other nations today that are experiencing far worse than we are. I'm talking about persecution, I'm talking about ungodly governments and all that. I've traveled to many of those nations. I've been in communist nations. And those people are saying, you think it's the end of the world? We thought it was way back when this started happening to us. Now, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying we're not in end times, because we are. Are you with me? But what I'm saying is, we need to look at from a world perspective that some of these things that are happening are really not that new. Are you with me? Am I making any sense? So, when Jonathan Cahn spoke at the return, he again outlined what happened to Israel and he compared that to what is happening in America. And it all revolves around our serving God. Now, we know that this nation that we live in is still the best nation in the world. I know that from travels, everywhere I go, people want to come here. But we're not proud in that. And the reason that has happened is because what God has done in this land and how people have responded over the last hundreds of years. Are you with me? He has called us as a nation to be a beacon to the world. And we're losing that real fast. And if you look at the children of Israel, what has happened to them, judgment came. Now, I believe we live in an age where God is about life. Are you with me? And we're really not under judgment, so to speak, except what He has outlined in the Word of God. And it's very clear, the Word of God will judge us. He has already said in the Word of God, if we don't follow Him, that the protection of His hand will be lifted. It's not where He gets up one morning and says, okay, well, He doesn't get up, but you know what I mean. That one morning He says, okay, today I'm going to judge. No, we live in a time of grace, thank God. But there are certain principles and things that have been established years and years ago, even before Israel, that if we don't follow the godly principles, we will reap certain consequences. Are you with me this morning? So I want to go to Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 7. I don't very often preach out of the Old Testament, but I am going to start there this morning and then we'll bring some other things in. One of the songs you sang this morning is about the greatness of the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well. But you know, when you listen to things today, let me say this first. If you watch the return and the march, there is hope for America. Come on, are you here or not?
Amen.
Come on, I like when you help me preach or teach or whatever I'm doing or talk. I said, the things you saw that Saturday, Friday night and Saturday, puts hope in our hearts for America.
Amen.
Which a lot of people think there's no hope left. Think about it. We have left God, and in God's mercy, He can restore us back again. We have left God as a nation, as a people. Back in the 60s, we took God out of the schools. Some people say when there's shootings and things like that and says, where's God in all this? Like in the schools and stuff. Somebody replied and says, well, you took Him out. Are you getting the message? This has happened in my lifetime. I'm not quite as young as some of you. And some of you are older than I am, but in some of us, our lifetime, we've experienced some of these things. We have seen how the nation has gone towards evil
more and more in our lifetime. But we've also seen times where there was a revival. And where that revival would come and kind of stay off the evil that is trying to happen. And that is trying to bring destruction. Amen? I mean, I'll never forget the charismatic move. Some of you weren't even alive then. But, you know, in the 60s, in the early 60s, in America, it was very violent. There was a lot of riots, there was a lot of demonstrating, there was a lot of all kinds of things, burning of the cities and things like that. I remember that. But then on the heels of that, there was the charismatic move. I mean, there was a move of God. It wasn't from a church. It wasn't in a specific church. There was just a move of God. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost everywhere. And it was so easy. Miracles and signs and wonders. We were in the midst of that. Back in 1974, we were hungry for God. We were in our early 20s, right? And we were hungry for God. We wanted more of God. And some of these things started happening. So we started going to this little Bible study. And I tell you, we saw miracles, we saw signs and wonders, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, speaking in tongues, and our lives were never the same. You talk about the power of God came out, and we changed. And the power of God will change you. The power of God will help us to stay strong. Not only that, but it will make us the witness that God wants us to be, just like it was in the book of Acts. We saw people who were enemies become friends. I was in a convention one time, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. You remember that? You remember that. You were very active in that. And we were in a convention out in California. And back then, it was South Africa, was apartheid. I mean, it was terrible between races and so on. But on that stage, people got filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was a black man from South Africa and a white man. And they were up on the stage because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They should have been enemies. But they were hugging each other because why? Because we serve the same Lord. And with the Lord, there is no difference. Amen? There was a prophecy at the end of the return by a man named Christmas. I don't know if you saw it or not. Powerful. And he says there is a new revival coming like never before. A new revival coming like never before. Now, I can think of some wonderful things that happened in the 70s and the 80s. But he said, like never before, the next 4 years, there would be a revival coming on this nation that will bring peace and bring the nation back to God. Are you here today? Now, this is what this man was saying, but I believe it was a message from God. And he said, it won't be about color anymore. It won't be about different cultures and so forth. Because in the Christian realm, we are all one. I will get to Isaiah eventually. But you know, there are so many different voices. You can listen to one prophecy and they will say there's going to be a great revival. You can listen to another one and they say that, you know, everything is doom and gloom. So what do we believe? Well, we got to go back to truth. And we find truth in the Word of God. Now, I believe certain things. I believe there will be a revival. I believe back in the early 1900s, somebody prophesied that in approximately 100 years from then, there would be a great revival, a great awakening throughout this land. So there's many, many witnesses throughout these last 100 years that we're living in a time. And you know it's really happening, do you know that? I mean, not to a big scale yet, like we would like to see it, but you read about things in the California coast. What's the guy's name, Sean? How do you pronounce it? I say Fouch, but it's Foyt. Sean Foyt. You all heard of Sean Foyt? I mean, he goes out and starts worshiping and thousands of people come together and start worshiping. And people get saved. They baptize him in the Pacific Ocean immediately. And then he goes to Colorado. Then he goes to Washington, D.C. In fact, he was down there during the return a couple weeks ago. And he says that he's going to do a worship thing in Washington, D.C. sometime in October, I think. And wherever he goes, they start worshiping and thousands of people get together. And they get saved and they get baptized immediately. Wonderful, wonderful things happening. They had 12,000 people on the Capitol steps of Sacramento praying I'm not sure it was him, but there was 12,000 people praying on the steps of the Capitol of California. You say things aren't happening. You say there's no hope. Things are happening, and we should be rejoicing. In fact, we should be joining in and doing what we can. Amen? So I wasn't really going to go that way, but I will. Whatever. Whatever God wants. Because we are here to build hope. And there is a hope. For the children of Israel, it didn't matter how wicked they became. God always gave them a way out and gave them hope. That's why I believe there's hope for us today. Because we compare it to what God did in the Old Testament. I mean, you had different kings. I'm talking about now Israel became two different nations. It became Israel, the 10 tribes of the north, and then it became Judah, which was two tribes. It was Benjamin and Judah. Those two tribes became another nation, then they called it Judah. And then they were, and the time of Isaiah was when these two nations existed. In fact, Israel was coming against Judah along with the king of Syria. And they said, we're going to defeat you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to destroy Jerusalem. And a lot of it was because they didn't have God's protection anymore because of their wickedness. And many times it depended on the king and the leadership. See, I believe true revival is coming and it's starting from the top.
Yes.
I believe when you want to have a national revival, it starts from the top. Look at all the righteous people that God is raising up in our government today. Boy, I got quiet on that one. I mean, there's so many of them. There's so many of them. Our vice president. And I know people have opinions about our president. But he got born again during his campaign. Excuse me. I started speaking and I don't. I have a tendency to cough. It's not COVID. Don't worry. Nowadays, you can't even cough because every time you cough, you feel guilty. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're not motivated by fear. I mean, this COVID thing, it's a real thing. We understand that. But we don't have to be afraid. Amen? I think it was John G. Lake when he was dealing with the bubonic plague in Africa. And he was a missionary there in Africa. And somebody asked him one time, says, aren't you afraid you're going to get it? And he would pray for people. He would lay hands on people. You know, one thing that is happening is it's keeping us from laying hands on people. And I don't think it should. You use wisdom. You use the wisdom of God. But that is a principle in the Word of God. It's one of the foundational truths of the church. That we're to lay hands on one another. Jesus laid hands on a leper. And he wasn't supposed to. So don't hesitate if God tells you to do it. Are you here?
Amen.
Because that anointing will protect you when you lay hands on people from out of God's direction. Hallelujah. The devil thought he's going to shut down the church. He thought he's going to bring this COVID thing. And by the way, this COVID thing is not from God. There was another Rhema graduate that is a preacher. I don't know his name. But I saw it. We saw a video of him of where he had a vision of Jesus, was with talking to Jesus for like 5 hours. And, you know, whenever you read these and hear these kind of things, you have to judge it by the Word of God. Always remember that. But now what was I going to say? Oh, he said that Jesus told him, tell the church that I did not send the COVID.
Right.
And he didn't. That's scriptural. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
Yeah. I am come that you may have life and that you may have a more abundant. You thought I forgot about John G. Lake, didn't you? So anyway, they ask him, well, how can you just go lay hands on people with the bubonic plague? Because that's very contagious. He says, as soon as I touch that person, if that comes on me, it dies instantly. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. In fact, here in Isaiah, go with me there. We'll get to Isaiah here yet. Isaiah 6. see, I have to find it here. It talks about Isaiah 7, I think, is verse 9. It says in the latter part of verse 9, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Another translation says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, I cannot make you stand firm. Now think about that. In anything that we experience in the promises of God, if I don't stand firm in faith, then God can't make me stand firm. And he is saying this in the midst of Syria and Israel coming against Judah, talking to the king of Judah, who is King Ahaz. And he says, all these things are going to happen, but I have hope for you if you turn back to God and so forth. And in the middle of that, he says this, but if your faith is firm, then I can make you stand firm. But if your faith is not firm, if you're afraid of these armies coming against you, I cannot make you stand firm. Isn't that good for today? What do you think, Brad? Yeah. So if we stand firm on the Word of God, then we can expect His promises to work for us, and He will help us stand firm. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. I don't know about you, but... So, where was I at? So, if that works for the bubonic plague, it will surely work for what we're facing today. Amen? And that's my belief. If I come in contact with it, it will die instantly.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. So, God, I believe that if we want to see a national revival, then it will come from the top down. I've always believed that. You see pockets of revival here and there, but we have never in my lifetime, well, maybe Charismatic Move was pretty close, but where there was a national turning back to God. And it's happening before our eyes. We have so many people in government who stand for righteousness. And in Proverbs it says, if the righteous rule, the people will be happy. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible also promises us that God will expose evil. That's my prayer right now, that God would raise up righteous people and strengthen those who are standing for righteousness.
Yes.
I have a brother, his name is Lloyd Smucker, you might have heard of him. He is in the House of Representatives. He probably doesn't represent this area, but Southern York County and all of Lancaster County he represents. And he is a righteous person that God has put there. He has put other righteous people. So my prayer is that God would strengthen them. That just like he said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Know that your God is with you. Don't be afraid or discouraged. He was talking to a national figure, Joshua. He was the leader of Israel. That promise was to the leader of Israel. That promise is for you and I as well. But it's also for our nation. It's also for those who stand up for righteousness. See, if we listen to the news all the time, we think everybody is bad. But there's many, many righteous people that are serving in all levels of government. And we need to lift them up in prayer, so that they can remain strong. This is not a physical battle we're in. It's a spiritual battle. And we need to come against those spirits, those principalities and so forth, that are trying to bring destruction. But I have news for you. There are many people rising up in prayer and standing in faith, knowing that God will make them firm, knowing that God is on our side, and they're standing in firm, and those principalities have to bow. Come on, they have to bow. Because they're already defeated. Jesus defeated them. Ephesians chapter 1, it says that He was placed far above any principality power and seated at the right hand of God. So that includes every evil force. He has already defeated them and seated far above. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, we are seated with Him. This is talking about authority. It's talking about our authority. The authority of the church. And we are seated with Him. Where? In relation to these principalities and powers. Where? Far above. So let's take our place. Let's take our place and our stand in authority concerning the nation and other nations of the world. Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
We need to rise up. The church has been sleeping for too long.
Yes.
Afraid to get involved. We need to be involved, especially in prayer and then in other ways. You can vote. Come on now, I'm preaching really good. All right, let's go to Isaiah before I get in any other trouble. Okay, so to give you a little bit of background, I've already touched on it, to give you a little background of who and in what time Isaiah was talking. Isaiah, especially the beginning part, is a lot of prophecies against Israel, against Judah, and against Syria. The first number of chapters. And in the middle of all the doom and the gloom and the judgment that he's prophesying on these nations, there is always a message of hope. This is one way to judge prophecy. This is a little side journey. One way to judge prophecy, if the prophecy that, or the person that's prophesying is giving a message of doom and gloom, if there's no hope in it, it's not from God. Now, there may be things that are not good that a person prophesies, but God will always give a message of hope with it, and if you do this, then I will do this. That's how you can judge some prophecy. There's a lot of people going around prophesying crazy stuff, but you can judge it by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That was a lesson that, you know, you don't have to pay for that part. So in the middle, now listen to this, in the middle of this doom and gloom that Isaiah was talking about. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about his call. And he had to have a strong call to say some of the things he said against these rulers. I mean, he wasn't just dealing with like you and I. He was dealing with kings that could knock him out, that could kill him or whatever. So he had to have a strong call. He had to know it was God speaking. Alright? So he was doing all this doom and gloom against Syria, against Israel, the king of Israel, against the king of Judah, and so forth. And in the middle of that, he would have these little tidbits of hope. Like in the first chapter, is it the first chapter, I think? He's going along and says, by the way, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And he's pleading, God is appealing to the children of Israel and to the children of Judah, appealing to them to turn back to him. But he said, if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. And we know it was. We know Jerusalem was destroyed during the time of Jeremiah. The temple was destroyed because they refused to turn back. Now, there was times in Judah, they would turn back for a while, then they would fall again, then they would turn back for a while. So they always had hope. So in the middle of that, he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be what? And they shall be like wool. Right now it slipped my mind. And then, later on in chapter 3, he says, just he's like going on, all of a sudden he says, by the way, tell the righteous it'll be well for them. Wow. I mean, he's telling all this stuff's going to happen. He says, by the way, tell the righteous that it's going to be well with them. We have hope in that.
Yes.
You know, no matter what happens in our nation, we can still tell the righteous it will be well with them. Come on.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, we serve a good God.
Amen.
God does not want to come down and swat you with a big fly swatter just because you did something wrong. His mercy, do we believe that? His mercy endures forever. His mercy is always there for you. All I have to do is turn around and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. And he forgives us. You were talking about forgiveness, right? A little earlier. I want to read that from Isaiah chapter 1. Are you in Isaiah with me? All right. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. I'm reading from the New King James. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now look at the next verse. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Is that promise just for back then? That promise is in the midst of stuff that's going to happen if they don't turn back to God. But he says, if you're willing and obedient, more individual, I think, and also national, but if you're willing and obedient, it'll be well with you. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on the Word of God.
Yeah.
and it will be well with us. Come on. I should have had an amen on that.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, it might not be like we think it's going to be like we always had in the past. But no matter what, it'll be well with us. God will provide for us. God will take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you won't be able to buy a car, to drive a Cadillac. I don't know. But it will be well with you. Come on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'll say it again. I'm preaching much better than you saying amen. So I want to go to chapter 7. And while you're there already, but I need to get my other translation here. Give you a little background again. Ahaz was king at this time. Before him, it was Jotham. Before him, it was Azariah. And then you go on back to different kings. But I'm starting with Azariah. He was 16 when he became king. Can you imagine that? Now, there was other priests and so forth that would help them rule when they were that young. But he ruled for 52 years, and he did right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, it says. So for 52 years, they had prosperity. For 52 years, they were following the Lord. And then Jotham comes along, and he was 25. Now, I'm going to give you a test later, so you need to remember all these dates. No, I'm just kidding. He ruled for 16 years. I'm just trying to show you a pattern. He ruled for 16 years. He was a good king. He served the Lord, but he failed to remove the high places that they used to worship other gods. That's a little key there. You know, whenever a nation regresses away from God, it happens a little bit at a time. We are experiencing today the darkness in our nation today because of the little decisions. I mean, they weren't really little, but the small things. It started with small things maybe in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. And today we've come to a place where you wouldn't have believed some of the things that are happening today when you lived back in the 60s and the 50s. And how people think and how our government is. The things that are taught in our schools. I could really hit one on the schools. I am not against the schools. I'm not against public school. I am against their curriculum. I'm not against any teacher. I'm not against any administrator. Those that are serving God. My one daughter is a school teacher in the public school. I am not against them, but I am against the curriculum. And I'll be bold in saying it. The things they are teaching your little children, and we're just letting them do it. A lot of Christians are just letting them do it, and they wonder why today our children are the way they are. Come on, I'm preaching really good. Somebody needs to say it. It is not popular to say that. If you send your children to a public school, that's up to you. But you better know what's going on in that school. And not just give them over to that. You better know, and you better come alongside with the Word of God in the things that they're learning. In fact, a lot of the things they're learning, we don't even know about. It is so hidden in the curriculum. And in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were not supposed to let the heathen teach their children. I'll let God speak to you concerning that. So Jotham, he was good. He didn't remove the high places. And then Ahaz comes along. And that's the one that we're talking about here. Ahaz, he was a wicked king. The king of Judah. Ahaz ruled for 16 years, but he was wicked. And in the midst of that, Isaiah comes on the scene and tells them, and tells Ahaz, if you don't turn to God, these things are going to happen to your nation. Are you with me? And then after that, Hezekiah rises up. And Hezekiah was a godly king, so there is hope. There is hope. Hezekiah ruled for 29 years, and he removed the high places. And then you have, after Hezekiah, you have Manasseh. He was 12 years old. He ruled for 55 years. He was one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. for 55 years. They sacrificed their children. They did all kinds of things. They listened to the mediums and the spirits and so forth. Manasseh. And he encouraged the nation to turn away from God. He built high places. He built altars to Baal and the false gods in the very temple of God. But still there was hope. I said, still there was hope. But they would prophesy all these bad things that were going to happen. But then after Manasseh, there was a young king named Josiah. How many of you know about Josiah? He became king when he was 8 years old. Now the high priest basically did the ruling until he was old enough. But when he was in the 18th year of his, and he did good, he was a good king. This is after Manasseh, after all this wickedness. Josiah comes in and he takes down all the altars to the Baal. He takes down all the high places and no longer lets and encourages the children of Israel to serve the true God. But one of the most telling things to me concerning Josiah is this. They were cleaning out the temple because the temple, they weren't using it. So he said, okay, let's clean up the temple. Let's put it back so that we can worship God again. And this is when after he was ruling for 16 years, they were doing this to the temple, and they found a book. They found a scroll, so to speak. They found the book, and it was the law that was given to Moses. It was the word of God that had been lost in the ruins. They brought it to the king and began to read it to him. And he said, oh my goodness, we have failed the Lord. And he tore his clothes in repentance and put ashes on his head in repentance and pleaded with all of Israel to fall before God and to repent before God. Revival from the top down. Israel had one of the greatest revivals after the most evil king, Manasseh. All of a sudden they had a great revival and they turned back to God and the nation was blessed again. I say, today, America is in the same place. We are being called back to God. And we don't just let it up to those that rule over us. Me, myself, I need to make sure my heart is right. I need to make sure that I'm on fire with God. Because that's where it starts. It starts in the individual heart. And I'll just say this. I don't know what you think of our leadership. I don't know what you think of our president. I don't know what you think of our vice president. I don't know what you think of all the cabinet members and so forth. But I tell you one thing. There are many, many of them that are believers and that are Christians. And they talk about it. Vice President Pence. He was at the prayer march. And he talked. And you'd think he'd be listening to a preacher. You can look it up for yourself. On YouTube or whatever. I mean, I talk about myself. I listen too much to the negative news. And I think everything's falling apart. But then when I see a person like him, President Trump, you know he's in the hospital. There's a prayer vigil for him outside the hospital. People gathering, praying for him and his wife, Melania. Again, I don't know what you think of him. That's beside the point. The point is this. Last night or last evening, he gave an update via video or however he did it. And he said something about healing and so forth. And he said something about miracles that come from God. Come on, people. There's hope. Things are happening. We have a youth group, or it's actually young adults at the worship center. You know about it. Called the Living Room. There's a tremendous move of God. A move of the Holy Ghost. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in tongues. They're excited. 500 of them come together almost every Tuesday night. Also in our neighborhood, there's a young man with the circuit riders. He decided he's going to put up a tent in his family's farm or wherever it was, and start to have a worship and so forth. 500 young people come.
Praise God.
30 of them get born again. And immediately they baptized 40 in a pond or something. You say it's not happening? Wow. How can we just sit there? Alright. Finally getting Isaiah. So you have the background, right? I'm going to start reading in Isaiah chapter 8. Do you have a tissue there or something? I'm going to start reading at verse... Well, I'm going to read it from a different translation. Who has New Living? Anybody have New Living? Okay, thank you. I'm in Isaiah 8. I read this the other morning, a week or so ago, and I thought, my, it's just out today. Let me find my place. Verse 11. Now this is Isaiah talking to the king Ahaz. He says, "The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everybody else does." Now let this speak to you. I mean, this was like, man, this is for today. I'll say it again. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everybody else does. He said, the Lord said, "Don't call everything a conspiracy as they do." I like that one, don't you? You know, everything is a conspiracy. Somebody said, well, you know, this whole COVID thing with our president, it was just made up. It's just made up so he can get whatever. That's a conspiracy. Are you listening to me? If it's true or not true, it's still a conspiracy. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Yeah. Come on now, don't live in dread of what frightens them. Yes. I said, don't live in dread of what frightens them. Yes. Make the Lord of Heaven's armies holy in your life. And He is the one you should fear. Make the Lord of Heaven's armies, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. Why? Because He's holy. I think for so many years in America, many Christians have just kind of gone along with the whole thinking, well, you know, it might be sin, but, you know, we can do it anyway. We have played on the edges of the world for years and years and years, and now we find ourselves today asleep when we really need to be awake. That was hot off the press. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, He will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. Now again, they had fallen away from God. That's why He's saying this. And for the people of Jerusalem, He will be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They will be snared and captured. I still think it's true today. If you don't follow God, these things are going to happen to you. Preserve, look at the next part. Preserve the teaching of God. Entrust His instructions to those who follow me. Preserve the Word of God in our lives. Make sure the Word of God is strong. Make sure it's your foundation. We need a strong foundation for the things that are ahead. We don't know what's ahead. We never thought that this whole COVID thing would happen. We were cruising along January, February. I had the best quarter in my business that I had for years and years. And you know, the devil thought he's going to shut the church down because he's going to bring this COVID and then the church won't have money. I tell you, he is defeated because a large percentage of churches, their offerings are bigger than they were before. Hallelujah. I don't know about your church, but that's how it is. I hear pastor after pastor saying, well, yeah, my offerings are better than they were before. And we're probably reaching more people than we did before because you're on the internet, you're on Facebook, you're in all these crazy things. All right. Where was I? Preserve the teaching of God. Entrust His instructions to those who follow me. I will wait for the Lord who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. This is Isaiah talking. I will put my hope in Him. We won't put our hope in our government. We won't put our hope in all these other things. We won't, you know, we've had gods over many, many years. I mean, sports has become a god. But look what has happened. This guy that was prophesying, he said sports would never return to where it was before. I'm not watching it anymore. I mean, I'm not saying I won't, but I'm saying I'm just not watching it anymore. There's too much, they politicize the whole thing. So why watch it? Come on, I know I'm being bold, but I gotta say it. Then he says, and I, this is Isaiah, and I and the children the Lord has given me serve as signs and warnings to Israel from the Lord of Heaven's armies who dwells in His temple in Mount Zion. What it was, he would have a child and God would tell him the name of the child. That name became a sign to the children of Israel. That's what he's talking about. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums, listen to this. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead with their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. You shouldn't. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Did you know some of the leaders in the movement today have said, there was an interview I said, her name is Colors, and she said that we call up the spirits of our ancestors to know what to do. That's what she said. We are not in a physical battle, we are in a spiritual battle. And the leaders of that movement, some of them are calling up the spirits. It's the same thing that we deal with in Africa. One of the biggest things that went wrong in Africa is they have ancestral worship. Witchcraft. Spirits. Witch doctors. Keeping people under control. We don't want that to happen here. We need to rise up and lift up the name of Jesus. And come against these things. Because Jesus said, what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So we can bind those spirits. And the deceitfulness of them. And the deceit that they're bringing to our nation. Come on, we gotta rise up. He says, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Why go to the spirits of your ancestors? In fact, they're not the spirits of your ancestors. The Bible calls them familiar spirits. They're evil demons and spirits that are controlled by the devil. That just appear like your ancestor. That's a familiar spirit. Should the living seek guidance from the dead? We got the Holy Ghost. He is alive. Jesus is alive, living on the inside of you and I. We have the Holy Ghost. And we need to seek guidance from Him. Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. That's a promise for us today concerning the evil. Now, we don't come against the people. We give the people the glorious light of the gospel so that they can have a choice to follow light rather than darkness. But if they don't follow light, this is what's going to happen to them. That's a principle in the Word of God. They don't know what they're doing. They're controlled by these evil spirits, and that's why I keep saying it's a spiritual battle. The person that you're ministering to, and that person may be on the evil side of things, never born again. It's not that person, it's an evil spirit that you have to come against. Now the person still has to make a decision. But we break down the evil spirit and the deception in that person's life through prayer so that they can make a decision. So that they know the choice. You know what it was like, some of you. You were on that dark side for many years. And all of a sudden the light of the gospel came in and set you free. Hallelujah. Well, that was my introduction. You want to stay here another hour? No, real quick. Not real quick, just a few more thoughts. We have been in Psalm 91 during this time, have we not? A few things in Psalm 91. When you look at the beginning of that, it says we are to trust in Him. What does that mean? You trust in Him and then all these other things won't happen. You trust in Him. What does it mean to trust? Trust is you say, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. When I drive with my wife in my car, can I relax? If I can't, then I'm not trusting the driver. Are you with me?
Yes.
Everybody's smiling because you know that's a contention many times. When we do marriage conferences, you know, that's one of the biggest contention in any marriage. Is them driving and one or the other telling them how to drive and where to go. Men never want to turn around. I don't. Right? And ask for directions, right? But we don't have to anymore. We got maps and we got Google Maps and we got all that. So, trust. Trust means you trust Him. You believe in Him. You're at peace. You have no uneasiness or whatever. You're totally trusting Him. So it says, trust Him. That's one thing. Then if you go to verse 4, I'm in the NLT. Verse 4 it says, His faithful promises are your armor and protection. The King James calls it the buckler and the shield. In this translation says, His faithful promises. Where do you find it? In the Word of God. That's why I say we need to be settled in the Word of God. It needs to be our foundation. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And then it says in 14, I will protect those. Now listen to this. We sang this morning. I will protect those. I will protect those who trust in my name. We trust in the authority of the name. We trust in the name because it has authority. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are glad. And it's referring to a tower in the middle of a city. And when an army would come and attack the city, they would all run to this big high tower, this big strong tower, to be safe. Hallelujah. We trust in His name because of the authority, and we build trust by spending time with Him in the Word of God. So I say we have three weapons. There's probably more, but there's three weapons that I think we need to be really strong in. Number one, the Word of God. To face the times ahead, we need a foundation. Things are being shaken. They have been shaken more than we would have ever thought, in a completely different way than we ever thought. Right? The Word of God must be our foundation if you want to stay strong. Number two, we have the name of Jesus. We need to rise up and use that name because there's authority in that name. If a sickness comes into your house, you say in the name of Jesus, you won't come here. Why? Because He said that by His stripes I am healed. You see, you use the Word of God along with the name of Jesus. And then the last one that I mentioned today is we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. I mean, we have the very power of God in us. You have the power of God in you. So why are we afraid? I mean, everywhere I go, that power is on the inside of me. Everywhere I go, it's there because He lives in here. God is with me. His presence is with me. His anointing is in me. His power is on the inside of me. Hallelujah. So I don't have to be afraid. I know we have many opportunities to be afraid. Sometimes we have thoughts of fear. But we can immediately say, no, greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. I use that so much. That's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Like I said before, the battle for our nation is a spiritual battle. And it is being fought. Many people are rising up in prayer. Powerful. But you can make a difference. I can make a difference. We think, oh yeah, you know, it's all federal and national and so forth. What can little me do? You can pray. You can rise up. In unison with many other people. We don't have to all be together to do it because it's in the Spirit. You can rise up and take authority. Start by taking authority in your own life, in your own family, in your own neighborhood, in your own city, and in your own nation. Rising up, asking the Lord in power to intervene for our nation. And then the second thing, this is more natural, you can vote. We have that opportunity. Many, many nations do not have that opportunity like we do. They estimated, the low estimate is, that 15 million Christians did not vote in the last election. 15 million. The high estimate is 25 million. So let's go with the lower. 15 million Christians didn't vote. If you're not registered, go get it done. Amen? You say, how do I vote? You vote for life. It's not always about a personality. It's about life or death. Vote for life. Vote for life in all areas of government. Those that stand for life, they're the ones that should be voted in. Just like King Josiah brought revival to Judah after 55 years of Manasseh's wicked reign, so today we can make a difference and we can rise up and bring this nation back through God. Of course, we know it's God. To bring this nation back after many, many years of darkness, that the darkness has been growing in our nation. Of course, there's a lot of good happened, but there's a lot of bad that has happened in the area of our government. It's time to put a stop to it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And we can make a difference. Maybe you've never received the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, like they did in the book of Acts. I'm talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I tell you, that prayer language is more powerful and more needed than ever before. Because so many times we don't know how to pray. But I tell you, we can pray in the Spirit. So we need to rise up. We need to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I say this, come to the fire. Come to the fire. And if you want somebody to pray with you for the Holy Ghost, then you can make a way for that. Thank you again for the opportunity to share with you. As you can tell, I've been fired up. When I began to get knowledge of some of the things that are behind some of these demonstrations and so forth, the riots and things, some of the thinking behind all that, I tell you, I got fired up. Because I realized it was a spiritual battle. And people are being used by the forces of evil to try to bring destruction, trying to shut down the church, trying to do all these different things. That's not God's will. God's will is for the righteous to rule.
Amen.
And you're one of them. Maybe God is calling you to even rise up in an area of in government. So many different places, opportunities in local government and many different areas. Amen? But I got to stop. Thank you. God bless you. I will. I will. Bob, we all stand. And this is not about just listening to a nice prayer. This is about from our spirits, our hearts, crying out to God. Because sometimes, you know, when we pray up front, we think, oh, we got to say this and that. No, it's not about that. You lift your voices. You lift your voices wherever you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have given us, you just pray in your own words and agree, also agree with what we're saying. Father, in the name of Jesus, just like you showed us with the children of Israel, there was hope no matter how much wickedness was in the land. And we know, Lord, there's been wickedness in the land. We know even as the church, we have become complacent. We have become, wrong has become right. Things that were evil years ago have become good. Father, we repent. We repent, Father, of our complacency in the name of Jesus. Father, in our nation, we repent for all the death. The death of children, Lord. The death, Lord, that has taken place. The darkness that has invaded our land and we've let it happen. Father, we ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, and I thank you that you're raising up a mighty army of warriors standing against the principalities and powers that are trying to bring destruction. Father, we come against them. We come against those evil spirits in dark places. We come against principalities and powers. You're already defeated. You are bound in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus bound you years ago. So you are bound. You must come down from your lofty places. You will no longer bring destruction in our lives. You will no longer bring destruction in our cities. You will no longer bring destruction by disease and so forth in our nation. And we pray for our leadership. We pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for those that are in his cabinet. We pray for all the Congress members and the Senate members in the federal government that are standing for righteousness. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them today. That they would be encouraged. That they would not be discouraged in the name of Jesus. We pray for President Trump. We pray, Lord, that healing would come upon him in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for all those that are standing for righteousness in our local government, in our state. We pray, Father, that you would send, that you would encourage them and strengthen them. And we pray, Lord, you would raise up many others. We pray for those that are not standing for righteousness. We pray, Lord, that they would have an opportunity to make a choice for life in the name of Jesus. Bring laborers into their path. But Father, if they refuse, I pray you would raise up people who would stand for righteousness in the name of Jesus. Now I pray for each one of us. I pray, Lord, that we would rise up in our rightful place of authority in the name of Jesus. Concerning our homes, concerning our relationships, concerning our towns and our villages, concerning our cities and our nation, that we would rise up in authority in that you have given to us, and that you would help us to walk in that authority in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
How many of you are encouraged? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you have brought light where it looked a little dark. And I thank you, light explodes in our heart and our eyes in direction now. We are not beat down. We are children of light. We are people that bring hope wherever we go. So I just want to say thank you, Dan and Kathy. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving this word to stir us and encourage us in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. If you would like to sow into Kathy and Dan, there's envelopes in front of you, or else you do the tax and go online, do all that good stuff. I still love to write checks because I get them for free, but it is good ground. So you can do that and you can put them as you go out. But Father, I thank you
that we have been changed and encouraged and shoulders back, heads high. For we are here for such a time as this, and we are going out strong for our nation, for our families, for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer for anything, a prayer of agreement up here, if you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, come on up front. And if you'd like to talk to Dan and Kathy, go talk to them. But you are dismissed. Oh, steps. Okay, you have something else?
If you want to listen to this prophecy I was referring to that was given at the return at the end in Washington, D.C., you can go on YouTube, and it's Kent Christmas. Kent Christmas Prophecy, 9/26/2020 in Washington. And it'll if you listen to that, it'll stir you up. It's about 5 minutes long.
Good. Kent Christian. Here you go.
Nevin.
All right. Okay, my turn. If you guys aren't coming up front for like prayer or whatever else, if you could just stack whatever row of chairs you're currently standing in on top of each other, and then if you can, push back your row of them like back in that corner or so, that would help us greatly so we can start tearing this carpet out on Saturday. Okay, that's all I have to say.